Neck. Not like
this is CLNS Radio, the home of internet sports talk radio.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Celtics fall in Phoenix this evening, 109-106, in a thriller sequence at the buzzer. Not going in Boston's favor tonight. I'm Nick Gelso, joined tonight by Nick Sesento. Tyray is floating around here. He'll be with us momentarily. Boston Celtics fall 109-106 in Phoenix to the Phoenix Suns. You're listening to the Celtics postgame show right here on CLNSradio.com. CLNS Radio is a leading online provider of audiovisual coverage of your Boston Celtics. Nick, dude, what the hell? What happened?
Well, I guess one of the Phoenix players poked the ball away from Isaiah Thomas. Looked like it could be a foul to me. Looked like it couldn't from the angle I saw. They kind of just, you know, the game kind of just ended quickly on the broadcast. I got the Phoenix broadcast, and it kind of just ended quickly. Didn't really show too many replays. But Isaiah Thomas lost the ball. I forgot what the kid's name was on Phoenix, the kid that had a really good game. I think he's a rookie or a young player.
Well, he's a three-pointer. Isaiah's mini-me. It's Tyler Ulis.
Yeah, if there can be a mini-me for Isaiah Thomas, yeah, he basically just, you know, lit it up, and he hit a you know, career shot in his young career. So, I mean, it's one of those games, you know, it's just one of those games. Sometimes the Celtics, you know, kind of they play down to their opponents instead of up to their opponents, and, you know, they dropped them. They didn't really get it competitive and put the foot down until the end, and it just wasn't, you know, enough to get them over the hump, especially not with a lucky bounce and a lucky shot like that.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, and if you think about it, Nick, too, the Celtics pretty much sleepwalked through a lot of this game. And even and it showed down the stretch as free throw after free throw wasn't falling as Phoenix was fouling down the stretch as well. We now have Tyray in with us, so we're a three-man crew. Nick Gelso, Nick Sesento, and now Tyray. What's up, Coug? Coug, 88.
Not much, man. Actually, we were due for a game like this. I think all Celtic fans should. No, it's ridiculous. You play every game close to the vest, you're going to end up with a turd exactly like this, and it was well-deserved. It was well-fucking-earned. There was absolutely no reason. No, I mean, am I wrong?
Tell him why you're mad.
Honestly,
that first half,
listen to me. That first half of basketball is a, you know, what, an hour of my life I'm never going to get back. I mean, it was absolute shit.
Yeah,
it wasn't just boring. I mean, going to be, you know, a professional basketball team, at least show up. And what sucks about this is not that the Suns are a horrible team. In fact, at home of late, they've won three games in a row. They just came off a big win against the Thunder, and they've got some really nice young players, as we found out tonight. But the fact of the matter is the Suns were ripe for the taking. The Celtics went up, 19-8, got off to the fast start they needed, then took their foot off the gas. And I'm not in shock at all. I'm in shock by the finish. But honestly, guys, you know what the finish of this game reminded me of? It reminded me of a Celtics win in Cleveland last year. Do you guys remember that when the Celtics scored points?
Yep. Yeah, Avery hit the game winner.
Five points in the final 3 seconds or whatever. But the bottom line here is, you know, Isaiah misses a free throw. How many free throws? And I love the kid. Did Jalen Thomas, Jalen Brown, miss in the second half?
That's the thing, Ty. I mean, I agree with you, but they slept. And I was saying it prior to, I think you had just gotten into the studio. The Celtics swept, they slept walked through a good portion of this game. And then down the stretch, they're naturally going to miss free throws. They couldn't get into sync when
you know, tight down the stretch. But I'll tell you what, you know, and you talk about how the Celtics were due for this kind of loss or whatever, and you never want to see the team lose. But, Nick, I don't know if you heard, but I couldn't help but laugh at the ending sequence of that game. And I had my mic hot, so I don't know if you heard. I was watching it. I mean, I kind of almost to a certain extent, I was never rooting against the Celtics because that's who we cover. But I was almost rooting for Ulis at that point because I was happy for the dude. I mean, come on. It was like the battle of the mini-me's tonight with Tyler Ulis and Isaiah Thomas.
Well, I don't know what's wrong with you, Nick. That's a very terrible thing to say, that you were rooting for one of the players from the other team.
No, I wasn't rooting, man.
Especially in the close game.
Here's the thing. I wasn't rooting. He had already hit the shot. I think I just was happy for him. I mean, like I said, the Celtics were due. They played poorly. They did not play very competitively, consistently throughout. They played well in spurts. And then, you know, Isaiah, it's hard for one to say that Isaiah Thomas looks tired when he goes off for another fourth quarter like he does tonight. But he did look tired through a good portion of the game. He was behind three steps on defense, and he really turned it on in the fourth quarter again. And then, of course, tonight, Avery Bradley, DNP, Trevor Lane covering the locker room for CLNS in Phoenix tonight, says it was a rest DNP due to back-to-back situation, back-to-back night. So that's good. Ty, did you watch the CSN or the Phoenix broadcast?
No, I watched CSN. And
man, you're lucky.
Yeah,
I watched
CSN.
Did they talk about the Avery situation?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much just precautionary. His rest tonight was
okay.
Precautionary.
Well, Nick and I get on.
I'll be honest,
Nick
though.
I
got to be honest, though, guys. I got to be honest. When I saw the DNP, I just rolled my eyes. And it's like, okay, great. You know, it just feels like it's been this way forever, right? Can we just get this team at some point in time at full health? You know, I mean, it's so short-lived. I don't know what the deal is with Horford. I think that was just some rest. But I do think tonight, especially in that first half, we saw how much Al Horford helps this team spread the floor and create
easy hoops. No question.
I mean, it was painful.
No,
I couldn't believe the Celtics were actually ahead by 3 points in the first quarter at the end of one, even though they shot, 27% from the field? I mean, how crazy is that? And it was just downright painful to watch this team try to execute on the offensive end. Now, having said that, I don't want to – I guess I'm still in shock from watching the end. I honestly, guys, I don't think I've seen anything like that in a long time. I made the comparison to the Cavs game last year when the Celtics scored, I think –
it wasn't quite
– we'd have to look it up. Yeah, it wasn't quite the same at all. But the Celtics scored like 5 points in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Here, this was just a matter of the Celtics not executing. They got everything they wanted. They got foul shots. They got Isaiah Thomas at the line for two to ice the game. He really can't do it. Jaylen Brown could have made it a 4-point game. He couldn't do it. And
Mark was missing throughout free throws.
And then to let Eric Bledsoe, who's a fine player, we don't really hear a lot about him because he plays with the Suns. But just to let him just waltz to the basket on two separate occasions for a lay-in without even making contact with him. I don't know. This is probably one of the most disappointing losses, I think, as a Celtic fan that I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, we can harken back to the
– I am worked up. It's just fucking ridiculous. I mean, it is. It's just poor execution. It's poor execution. My God, you're playing a Phoenix Suns team that has the second worst record in the Western Conference. Here's the other thing. Okay, now you've got the Clippers tomorrow night, so you're going to be playing the second of a back-to-back on the road. Then you're playing the Warriors, and then you're going to be playing at Denver. And I don't care how shitty the Nuggets are, they're always hard to play at home, and they're actually playing better, fighting for the final playoff spot. So
it's a bad
setup. Possibly a four-game. Yes.
Yeah, it's a bad setup for the rest of this road trip. However, the Celtics do perform well on the second night of back-to-backs. They're going to obviously be playing Al Horford and Avery Bradley tomorrow night, so they will have hopefully, fingers crossed, a full roster. And the Celtics play the Clippers well. So I'm looking forward to that game in L.A. tomorrow. But you're right, Ty. It does set them up for kind of like – plus you're goofing with the time zones with this game, though, too. Because you leave Boston, you go to L.A., then the schedule has you flying down to Phoenix, and that's a changed time zone. People don't realize it. I think that's a two-hour swing instead of three. Then you're going back up to L.A. to play the Clippers, then to Sacramento. The whole schedule this year was kind of goofy. I want to loop Nick into this. You've been awful quiet. What's your take on the road ahead, I guess, and how this loss tonight impacts that journey?
Well, I think that, the road ahead, I think, is going to be the same as it was anyway. I mean, if we're going to go with the premise that, you know, we were due for one of these turds, as Ty Ray would call it, that we're due for, you know, dropping some of these games. It's a road trip. We're going to lose some of those games. I think that if we were going to pick games that we wanted, or not that we wanted to, but that we could expect to lose, or that we thought we might have a good chance of losing, Phoenix wouldn't be one of those games. But, you know, this just puts the pressure on us to then pick up the slack against, you know, the Clippers in what will be Paul Pierce's last game against the Celtics. We already went through his last game at the Gardens, and now we'll have...
I think we've worn that one out completely. I thought we could get another million views on a video, we probably would have sent a locker room crew out there for that game. But I think Celtics fans have completely worn that dry. Here's my thought on tonight's game, guys, gentlemen. Normally, I looked at L.A. like a trap game. You know, you're coming off a huge win against Cleveland. You fly out to the West Coast. You're going to play the Lakers. They're terrible. They're in turmoil. I thought that was going to be a loss here. They came out and overperformed and blew them out of the water. Tonight ended up being kind of their letdown game, right? So I'm not too worked up about it. They had a half rot. You know, they had two key players missing. I think tomorrow night they get back on the plane. They head to L.A. and they. I think the Celtics can most definitely beat the Clippers on their court.
One of the mitigating factors, Nick, I think, is the fact that the Wizards and the Raptors, I think, lost last night. Combination of, you know, some of those things. So that helps us in the fact, okay, so we dropped a turd, they dropped some turds. You know, everybody's dropping turds, and if, you know, the status quo remains the same, we stay in the second seed and everything is fine and dandy with Celtics Nation, so to speak.
Celtics post-game shows, that's a disappointing thing, guys. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a disappointing thing. Oh, yeah, that we had a chance to move up, but that we didn't because we dropped a big fat shit against the Phoenix Suns. So, I mean, I don't know.
Right.
Half glass full, half glass empty.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I'm going to reset. Celtics Post Game Show, CLNSRadio.com. Opening segment powered by SeatGeek, the SeatGeek ticketing app. It's the simplest, smartest, easiest way to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. Get a $20 rebate on your purchase by downloading the SeatGeek app to your iPhone or Android. Go to the settings tab and click the promo code key. Enter CLNS. That's CLNS, one word. You'll get a $20 rebate. SeatGeek, I'm all fumbled up. SeatGeek knows who you sent, and that's our CLNS promo code. I just butchered that live read. That live read felt like the last play of the game for the Celtics, Ty.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I'm still trying to think if I've seen anything quite like that. I was trying to make a comparison to the Celtics game last year.
Reggie Miller.
I think it was worse.
Reggie Miller we've seen do it against the Knicks back in the 90s. A little less dramatic.
Reggie Miller made great plays in both of those. He hit a three and then made a great steal. This was fucking Isaiah Thomas being Keystone Cops, losing Mr. King of the fourth quarter, pissing away his 16 points in the quarter.
It's interesting. Okay, I'm so glad you're bringing that up, and I'm actually getting blown up by listeners who are starting to get a bit testy with Isaiah. You know, the watch, the fourth quarter, a bit of the overconfidence. I don't have a problem with it, Ty. You just mentioned it. Talk about that a little bit.
No, I mean, Isaiah did what Isaiah, you know, did tonight. And thank God, because the Celtics came from behind to really win the game. But at the same time, I just thought that was a complete, utter lack of concentration. Now, would you expect, I suppose, somebody to steal the ball and hit a shot there with 3 or 4 seconds left? No. But at the same time, I don't know. I just thought the very end of the game was poorly executed and – I'm just kind of speechless. I really am. I mean, fundamentals, basketball fundamentals I'm the guy that loves Brad Stevens because he is about basketball fundamentals. And here we are talking about a game that was lost because of missed free throws, turnovers, allowing the other team to score without playing any kind of defense. So a lack of fundamentals here at the end of the ball game cost the Celtics a must win. And I'm going to call it a must win because, guys, I got a prediction. This is going to be a four-game losing streak. Trust me on this one. You're not going to win in L.A. tomorrow night, second night of a back-to-back. It ain't happening. Chris Paul is back. When the Celtics played the Clippers, he wasn't playing. Then they're going to go into Golden State. Golden State's going to get its crap together. They won today. They're going to be back on track. Oracle's always a tough place to play. Then they go to Denver. That's going to be a tough place to play.
Somewhere in there, Sacramento, too, isn't it?
Okay. No, they already crapped the bet against Sacramento, Nick, on the first game of a road trip. Remember? That was the first West Coast swing, and they lost by – Nick, correct me if I'm wrong here, Sacramento. Did they lose by 20 in Sacramento or 18 or something like that?
Yeah, it was well into double figures. It was the reverse Geno time. it was the opposite of Geno time, yeah.
And that was without –
it was razor blade
that
time.
That was without – Yeah, that was without Cousins. That's when the Kings sat him down because of technical foul suspension. Mm-hmm. So I got a bad feeling on this one, and it's okay. But having said that, this is the last of the road trips, period. This is the last of the road trips, but that's why this one would have been so important. You would have been two back of the Cavs. Now you stay three, and you could have gained ground on the Raptors and the Wiz. So it's bigger than you think. I'm not discounting the
gravity of it. I think you're right. I think at the moment, though, what I'm sitting there saying, I kind of laughed because what else are you going to do? I mean, like you just said, when was the last time you seen a sequence like that? And then on the other side of that, I kind of disagree with you. I think they will fare better tomorrow night versus the Clippers. Let's hope so, because you're right. If they lose tomorrow, you could thank tonight for setting them up for really what could be an unsuccessful road trip after they beat the Lakers. Not that the Lakers are so good, but I'm thinking, okay, the Celtics can potentially walk away from this trip with one loss maybe to the Warriors, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I was hoping, you know, come on, always go out of the road trip above 500. So you beat the Lakers, you beat the Suns. And then it's 50-50 whether or not you beat the Nuggets, who are playing really well right now.
It's such a bad place to play, too. It's just terrible to play.
And they're playing for the playoffs, so there's a lot of motivation there. So now, where do you dig out? You're not going to dig out two wins, I can tell you that, not the way they're playing right now. So it's just a real shame. You know, it's a real shame. Everybody thought they turned a corner. What's that, Nick?
But Ty, what happened to the ray of sunshine, man? You normally come on the show and you're
sunshine
like, you know,
tonight.
Just like
grins
and rainbows and unicorns.
No,
and you know
no,
what though?
No.
But now you're four. But it's not just tonight. If you're just saying, okay, tonight was a bad game. We screwed up tonight. But you're forecasting like doom and gloom for like the next week and a half of Celtics basketball.
No,
or 2 weeks
just
of Celtics
road trip.
Basketball. This road trip, that's what it's going to take. It's going to be about another week or so, or another week and a half of ball, you know, when you stretch it out, you know, whatever it is, another week of basketball, let's say, while we're out on the West Coast. I mean, the Denver Nuggets are playing for the playoffs and they have something to play for. We're going to run into a lot of teams that have things to play for, but I think the Celtics have something to play for as well. And I think there's one thing you can say about this team is that it may play down to its competition, like teams like the Phoenix Suns, but it also plays up to its competition, like teams like the Clippers or like the Denver Nuggets. When they get a feisty team, it kind of like sparks them and they start playing feisty, so to speak, as well. So I don't think they were ready for the Phoenix Suns in the sense that they didn't think the Phoenix Suns were going to come out the way they did. Like you said, we've all noted that they sleptwalked.
They better start
getting
ready.
Yeah, they better start getting ready.
Yeah, the scouting report's out. The playoffs are coming. And every team, no matter what, no, they're not on the Warriors or the Cavaliers level, but they are in the level to be gunned at, obviously, at number two in the East. So they better really get on that. It's the same thing. I think, Ty, you agree with me on this. We've talked about it off air quite a few times. I've kind of stopped getting frustrated with this team in regards to make misses, because they're a make miss team. They're a perimeter shooting team, and that's all there is to it. So you could go through a 12 or you know, a horrible, horrible scoring drought, and it's painful to watch when the perimeter shots aren't dropping.
Oh, no, no question. I can accept that. No, like I said, I can accept that. What I can't accept is the execution at the end of a game where the game is basically won. You have to hit free throws on two separate occasions, and you let
– You're putting this in Brad's – this is Brad Stevens.
Oh, that's what I said. I said that earlier. I said this is on him too.
Yeah.
I just – I just shake my head. I'm an – I was just in absolute disbelief. It almost reminded me, maybe I'm wrong here, of when the – God, I hate to bring this up, but when, like, the Spurs, people forget this. Hey, LeBron, you should be without one more ring. Because the Spurs had the Heat beat in Game 6, the first time those two clubs for the NBA title. Ginobili bricked a bunch of free throws, allowing the Cavs to score, and then that set up Ray Allen for the miraculous three-pointer in Game 6. And, of course, we know that the – Heat went on to win that series in seven games. It reminded me of that too, only even worse. I mean, just because there were so many unforced errors. It's like a tennis match with unforced errors, missed free throws, bumbled balls. I mean, it's just painful. It reminded me of the ML Carr days, I'll be quite frank.
Oh, man, on that note, 109-106, obviously the Celtics fall on Phoenix if you got the last part of what Tyree just threw out at us. ML Carr being mentioned on this broadcast, 109-106, Phoenix defeats Boston in Phoenix. Celtics now travel to the Clippers for the second night of a back-to-back. We're going to probably cut this broadcast a bit short in about 20 minutes, so we will open the call lines. But first, let's take our one and only commercial break tonight, Nick, and we'll come right back after network break number one, and we'll get to Joshua in Indianapolis, who is on the toll-free call lines.
Hey, this is Ty Ray from Beats and Eats Podcast, and today's Celtics post-game show is being brought to you by the SeatGeek ticketing app. As the Celtics playoff push heats up, SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to every game. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. And it doesn't end with the Celtics or any other NBA game. SeatGeek also has plenty of concert, comedy, and theater tickets available too, and it's fully guaranteed. Listeners to CLNS Radio can support this production and get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how. Download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code and enter promo code CLNS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just two taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just used SeatGeek to buy Portland Trailblazers tickets, and I found the app a breeze to use. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click on add a promo code. Enter promo code CLNS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS today.
Nick Gelso, Nick Sesento, Ty Ray, Celtics postgame show, CLNSradio.com. Welcome back, and we're now going to go to the Movement toll-free watches call lines, and we have Joshua, who wants to discuss, oh, shock topic here, guys, Boston Celtics' lack of rebounding. I think it's been a discussion on every post-game show this season, so let's bring Joshua in. Welcome from Indianapolis, Josh. Lack of rebounding,
Thanks for having me.
Roll us right into it. I think we can all talk a lot about the Celtics' rebounding deficiencies.
Oh, yeah. First of all, I want to say that this is the absolute worst rebounding team I've ever seen in the NBA. We cannot save our lives. Kelly Olynyk, he just doesn't even try. He is literally just watching.
He's ball watching.
guys, I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to get into this. He certainly hasn't played well since the break, and I'll admit that. He's been the invisible man. But ask Sean Grandy and look at it. I'm going to leave it at this. Ask Sean Grandy, take a look at advanced stats, and you'll be surprised. I'm going to leave it there. I don't want to do a whole show on rebounding, but you're wrong. I'll just leave it at that.
So No, we'll embellish.
No, I'm just telling you. I don't want to. No, it's not just about numbers. It's about creating rebounds for other people, creating loose balls, that kind of thing.
Well,
Olenek
superb at that. Olenek is very
absolutely.
Olenek is like a Larry Bird type deceptive defender as well. Not to compare him to Bird, but he plays passingly. He's a very good defender.
Yeah,
he was actually playing pretty well before the All-Star break, and then. We were like, okay, Kelly, he's back. But then after the All-Star break, he just started going back to the Kelly Olynyk he was playing in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I think we can say that, though, about a lot of people, can't we? Not just
Kelly.
We can. I'm not trying to defend him, but, Tyler Zeller, I'm sorry.
Durepko. You know who's been really impressing me a lot? Marcus Smart. He's been playing a lot, great defense. He's diving after loose balls. He's making big-time shots. So, same thing with Jaylen Brown. I really like these kids. These kids would have a bright future for us.
You know, guys, that was the shame of it tonight, was in the third quarter when the Celtics were actually – we forget the Celtics were down by 15 points tonight, and I was really disgusted. But it was Rozier and Jaylen Brown that led the charge back in the third quarter as they went on a 15-2 run to get back in the game. So it was those two that did it. Now, having said that, I wish Jaylen would look – I know he's a decent free throw shooter, but man, tonight just killed him. Had he made just a couple of those, we had a dreadful night at the line. But you're right. I mean, both Smart and Jaylen Brown playing great basketball, I think, right now. Although I wish, and maybe I'm asking him to be somebody he's not. I wish Marcus had just a little offensive game, just something, just a signature move, and he just doesn't.
That's the question, Ty, that I ask whenever we have discussions, and I'll ask our caller, Joshua. I've asked multiple hosts here on CLNS Radio, can anybody name what Marcus Smart's go-to offensive move is? Because I can't name it. I like Marcus Smart as a player, but does he have a go-to offensive move that he can go to whenever he needs to get his offense going? In my opinion, he doesn't have one.
Yeah, he doesn't really have one. Like, he's more of – to me, he's more of a defensive player. That's really his game is. Like, he can shoot threes, he can get streaky, but him firing up the shot, that's not acceptable. He shouldn't be doing that. He can create the offense.
Yeah, when your signature move is shooting 30% from three-point range, that's not a signature. You don't want it to be your signature move when you shoot 30% from beyond the stripe. But I wish that he could finish when he drives. There are just some times that it's so frustrating because he's out of control. Now, the one thing he does do that I do like that he's starting to get better at is use his body to draw fouls and take advantage of smaller guards. I think he does a really nice job of that. And, of course, he makes his free throws too. But I just wish he would come up with something, a floater, a runner, a something, because I don't know if he's ever going to be a great shooter from the field. I just don't think so.
No, yeah. He definitely needs to develop some type of offensive move. I think a floater is, you know, something that he could add to his game fairly easily because he's really good at putting his head down and getting into the lane when he wants to. He can kind of bully his way into the lane. He just needs to figure out what he's going to do with himself once he gets into the lane because it's usually not pretty. When it comes time to, you know, you tuck yourself in like a running back and you kind of take those two steps to get into the lane, and then when he opens back up and explodes to the hoop, he doesn't know what he's doing with it, and it usually ends up in a bad shot, a bad layup, something that doesn't really make all that much sense. Although I will give him credit, he does have a good post-up game against players that are either his size or maybe even a little bit bigger than him.
Oh, yeah.
Wings that, you know, may have his height, but not his girth. He can post players up. So I'll give him that. I think that he's developing somewhat of a post game where he can get moves with his back to the basket.
So strong.
But I think that's about all he has.
He's so strong. Which he has to be able to. If he's not going to be able to develop a mid-range or a perimeter game, he has to develop a strong post-up game, I think. I mean, he's a physically gifted, physically strong guy. I mean, when he gets in the paint, he goes to the line, and then that's a whole other issue. Thanks to Joshua from Indianapolis for calling in. You know, the lack of rebounding. Ty, were you referring to Kelly in particular, or were you referring to Grandy mentioning something about the whole team?
No, Grandy was talking about Kelly in particular, about people harp on Kelly for his lack of ability to rebound. But it's deceptive. It's deceptive because he looks awkward. But you know what? We would, too, if we were 7 feet tall and mobile, right? Of course he looks awkward. No seven-footer moves like Kelly Olynyk does, really, at that height. He's just – he's a special kind of player, and he does look
– How does he move?
Huh?
I mean, how does he – how exactly does he move? What do you mean? No, there's no other seven-footer that's as goofy as he is?
Well, I'm talking –
I mean, what exactly is unique about his movement?
How many seven-footers – how many guys play the five that can actually, like, drive the lane and take it to the hoop or shoot the three or maneuver with the basketball or pass? Not a lot. Not a lot.
Well, I think the guys that typically do that are guys that can also play above the rim, and that's the odd thing about Kelly Olynyk is that he can get into the hoop. He can, you know, drive to the basket, but, I mean, aside from a few, you know, thunderous dunks, putbacks and stuff that he's had, he doesn't really play above the rim all that much, and he doesn't play above the rim when he's grabbing rebounds either, so it's kind of an odd thing to say. Maybe not to say it, but, you know, the fact that Kelly Olynyk, you know, can get himself into the paint with a couple of dribbles. I think he has a really long stride, which allows him, you know, to cover a lot of space when he needs to. I just don't think he has very great handles, and his vertical athleticism is not really there. So his athleticism, I think he definitely has some, but it's a rather unique athleticism for an NBA basketball player.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But
I'd also say, Ty, I think what you're mentioning about Grandy is that, you know, Kelly may have only grabbed four rebounds tonight, but he probably assisted in two of Amir's eight and one or two of Jay's 10, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
He's deflecting. Dance. He's in the right place at the right time. He's one of the only players on the team that boxes out. I don't know if anybody else noticed that.
No. That does matter. I mean, that stuff does matter. And
I know.
It's the kind of stuff that doesn't matter, you know, show up in the box score.
But why is Kelly always a scapegoat for the fan base?
Because I think it's easy to point at him because he does look kind of goofy at times. And when he's not hitting shots and he's not scoring, I think people look for a scapegoat. I think the same thing happens to Marcus Smart a lot of the time as well.
Wow.
His game isn't sexy. That's just the whole thing. Nothing about his game is sexy. It's not flashy.
Are you talking about Kelly? I think his passing is very flashy.
Okay, I'll give you that. Yes, definitely. His passing, offensive game when it comes to scoring is not really a sexy game. His defense is not really sexy defense. He doesn't slap shots. He doesn't get, you know, up in there and, you know, put his balls on somebody's face when he's dunking. He doesn't do all those, you know, crazy things. He's kind of more of a subdued, you know, player when it comes to those things. And I think a lot of that has to do with that lack of vertical athleticism that I was talking about earlier. But he does have I wouldn't scapegoat him. I think he's a solid player. I think he's, you know, he's grown into being a solid player, just needs to maybe be a little bit more consistent because he definitely has waves of good and then waves of not so good. You know what I mean? And he's never going to be a fantastic hard-nosed rebounder.
Yeah. I mean, if he could be a 10-7 guy, wouldn't that be great? You need a guy like that on your team. There are nights he throws up a goose egg and doesn't show up. It's infuriating. If you think about when the Celtics were playing so great before the break, go back and look at like Kelly's last five or six games before the All-Star break. It was like 17-7 every night, 16-5, 17-7.
Mm-hmm.
Good, very good numbers. And then since the All-Star break, to coincide with Al Horford's MIA display, that hasn't really helped matters as far as the Celtics are concerned. What is their record since the break, by the way? Does anybody know right offhand? 3-3, 4-3? I don't know.
I don't know. I'd have to pull it. Well,
yeah.
Go ahead.
This brain fart, like, okay, so Avery Bradley was out. He was getting, you know, the rest before the first night of a back-to-back. Where was Al Horford? There's, you know, two did not play tonight.
Yeah, there was an elbow. They were talking about, like, an elbow injury on CSN. I didn't get the complete gist of it.
Nick and I were relegated to the Phoenix. We were relegated to the Phoenix, which was actually a good broadcast, but you don't get all the information like you do on the CSNNE broadcast. I thought they were just resting Horford. I know he talked before the game, and Trevor got video, so it'll be on the CLNS YouTube channel tomorrow. So we'll hear from Horford. No Horford, no Bradley tomorrow night. Hopefully both are going to be in uniform with the Clippers. As we look ahead, we're wrapping up this – we're getting ready to wrap up this show. Celtics postgame show, CLNS Radio, Ty Ray, Nick Sesento, Nick Gelso. Celtics fall to the Phoenix Suns, 109-106 in Phoenix. Guys, we kind of looked ahead already, but let's do it one more time now that I think calmer, cooler heads might have prevailed a little bit. Ty, has your opinion changed at all? You still think this was they'll head back to Boston on a four-game skid?
They very well could. I don't think they're winning tomorrow night, and I don't think they're winning at Golden State. And my hope is that they win on the road at Denver. I think that's tough. I think that's a tough gig. I think it's tough to play the Clips. And I know the Clippers have been struggling of late, I mean, big time, but they won at Chicago last night. They looked okay. They didn't look great. By the way, this is a completely different conversation. I think Blake Griffin is the most overrated player in the NBA.
Every time I watch him,
like, what's the fascination? Okay, besides the point.
He dunks.
I think they'll
have he can dunk.
Yeah. Oh, boy, how exciting. It all counts the same, right? So I don't know. I mean, tomorrow night's going to be a real tough one, and it just seems like I just have visions of Jamal Crawford in three-pointer after three-pointer tomorrow night for some reason. Let's hope
the
not.
The dagger.
I hope Paul gets to play. I hope Pierce gets to play a little bit, and let's hope that he sees some time on the floor against his old team. That would be fun. But the Clips, the game at Golden State, although, you know, it's kind of funny, guys. People have been ripping Isaiah Thomas. Has anybody seen how Steph Curry's been shooting three-pointer of late?
Oof. I know.
It's brutal. It's a make-or-miss game. So maybe we ought to get off Isaiah's back a little bit here.
Well, I don't know. Steph Curry's on a three-year hot stretch then on that. You know what I mean? This is the first time people are really seeing Steph look human.
Steph also has a whole lot of help.
Steph also has
a whole lot of help to take away. He has a whole lot more help to take attention away from him. He gets a whole lot more open shots than Isaiah Thomas, who often has to create his own shots by, you know, either running under or around or, you know, whatever, getting a nice pick or, you know, trailing on a play and then, you know, basically pulling up for his three-point shots. He has a lot less help than Steph Curry. You can't just focus in and target Steph Curry the way you focus in and target Isaiah Thomas to shut down the Celtics. You can't do that to the Golden State Warriors because Klay Thompson and, you know, whoever else will, Draymond Green, whoever else will come in there and basically kill you. So you just can't do that, and it's just not going to happen.
Agreed. So that's it, guys. Let's wrap it up. Nick, do you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I'm gonna be the ray of sunshine for a change to Ty Ray's
I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone here tonight.
Yeah, I'm gonna be the ray of sunshine to Ty Ray's clouds of gray, and I'm gonna say that we beat the Clippers tomorrow because I think that we pretty much handled them. I know the score was a little bit closer than we would have liked, but we handled them the last time they came in Boston Garden. So I think that, you know, a nice close win is in order for whatever it is. Tomorrow night? Yes, tomorrow night against the Clippers. Golden State is obviously going to be a very tall task, but I think they're somewhat vulnerable. Steph Curry isn't shooting as – he's not shooting his best, basketball. Right, he's not playing his best basketball right now. Kevin Durant is out, and, you know, I don't know. Maybe Draymond Green will kick somebody in the balls and get thrown out of the game and give us a chance, you know. So I think we go. I think we go 2-1. I think we beat Denver and the Clippers, and we probably drop one to Golden State. Let me just say, we'll drop one of the two between the Clippers and Golden State, and we beat Denver. How about that?
I can see
how
that
about
too.
That? Cash me outside.
Put yourself back though a year, no Durant. Then it was actually probably a little bit more talented Golden State team that was about to win 70 plus games. The Celtics beat them last year on their court, so you never know. You never know.
That's what
so
I'm saying. We have a chance. I'm not Ty Ray. I'm not a negative Nancy.
Yeah. I'm going to continue that ray of sunlight, and I'm going to say tonight was a bad loss. Right, it was, but was one loss. It was one loss. Two of your stars are out. Let's go in tomorrow night. The Celtics, let's win a good – let's have a good win in L.A. against the Clippers. And just like Kevin McHale would say, let's just brush this one and forget about it and move on to the next game. So for Nick Sesento and Ty Ray, I'm Nick Gelso, Celtics postgame show. They fall tonight, 109-106. The Boston Celtics fall to the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix. And we will be back tomorrow night following the Celtics game in L.A. versus the Clippers. Post-game show tonight will be on demand and available for listening by searching CLNS Radio, Boston Celtics post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio free mobile podcast app. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. At CLNS Radio is the network. I'm at CLNS underscore Nick. Ty is at Coug88. And Nick Sesento, I don't, you know, you're antagonist. I think you're like at antagonist or something, but you're never on Twitter.
I don't really use Twitter. I have it. I'm like an occasional Instagram guy. It's at truth.d.antagonist at Instagram if you want to check me out. Same thing at Twitter, Truth the Antagonist. You can find it if you really want to find me. I'm there. So, you know, just got to do a little bit of Ace Ventura Net Detective and, you know, do a little bit of internet sleuthing to find me. But I'm there. If you look hard enough, you can find me.
And today's show powered by SeatGeek. SeatGeek mobile app for purchasing tickets, concert tickets, sporting tickets. Go to the upper right-hand corner, click add a promo code, use CLNS. There you'll get a $20 rebate. Don't forget about movement watches. Every single post-game show, the toll-free call lines are sponsored by MVMT Watches. Go to mvmtwatches.com/CelticsBeat for 15% off, free shipping. Again, I'm Nick Gelso. For executive producer Larry H. Russell, program director Justin Pullen, Ty Ray, Nick Sesento, we're out of here. We'll see you back again tomorrow night.